Kampala, Africa, 26 November 1994. This is a lecture given by His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami.
Our lives are completely misdirected and we are thrown into the darkness of ignorance, and that ignorance has got to be dissipated. And Purana means Bhagavat Purana. And in order to dissipate the darkness of ignorance in our life, this Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam, is compiled. And it is Arka. Arka means sun, as brilliant as the sun. Aduna Uditaha. Now it has arisen. Before 5,000 years, Vyasa Bhagavan put all the knowledge in writing, black and white, because he knew that the living entities in Kali Yuga will be having a very short memory. Before that, these were all known as Shrutis. By only hearing, we could remember before. But since 5,000 years, since this age has begun, the deterioration of our memory has started. And now it is going worse by worse, day by day, by the use of the calculators and computers. We have completely lost the remembering power. And if we try to make use of these things more and more, the day will come when our mind will stop functioning. This is the risk we have taken in Kali Yuga. And because of this, we must have a qualified guide who is correctly known as Guru. Our Guru is Srila Prabhupada. He has given us all the knowledge. Even now he is present in our books. And so many nice spiritual masters we have in ISKCON at the moment who all guide you to understand Srila Prabhupada. As soon as you come to his books, he is very simple and clear. Even a small child can understand the arguments which he has presented. So please, I would request you all to start reading first the small books. There are so many small books we have. Try to read those and understand. And then you will get the knowledge required. From your life, the darkness of ignorance will disappear. And it has to disappear. Otherwise, our lives become completely useless. And because of this, we always pay humble obeisances at Guru's lotus feet. And it's a nice verse he has given us. See here. Who is talking? Om Agyana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. It's a beautiful meaning also. Om Ajna, you repeat. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Adnyana, we are in ignorance. And because we are ignorant, therefore we are thrown into darkness. And because of this darkness, with all the eyes we have, we cannot see. At the moment there is light here, you can see very clearly what is there in the room. But if the light goes off, with all the eyes, with our eyes, we'll not be detect anything in the room. This is known as Ajnana, darkness. Timira. Timira means darkness. And because we are in the darkness, the Andha, we are completely blind. We cannot see the things as they are. And this has got to be dissipated. Jnananjana Shalakaya. By the knowledge, by the bright lamp of the knowledge, this darkness has got to be dissipated. and the person who force opens our eyes to the fact that we have to die one day, and this is not a permanent situation. However nice situation you may create, you may have millions of shillings or dollars or whatever it is in your bank, the nice businesses, nice houses, nice country, nice cities, where so many things are nice. But they are all temporary. This is the knowledge. We are at the moment behaving as if we are going to be eternally here. That is Ajnana. And as soon as this Ajnana is dissipated by the lamp of the knowledge, then our eyes are forced open. And as soon as our eyes are forced open, then we pay our humble obeisances to the lotus feet of such a person who is known as Guru. And then we have to glorify the Lord Himself. Without Krishna's glorification, our lives are becoming completely miserable. There is no reason for the other reason for our misery. We cannot blame anybody but ourselves. Because of our miserable conditions, we are becoming mental. But we cannot tolerate the misery. At the same time, we cannot get rid of it. The bodily miseries are there. They arise from our this body of flesh, bones and urine and stool. And then the most important misery arises from the mind. Because the body is not all right, so the mind doesn't function all right. And because the body is not all right, there are so many miseries coming out of our mind. And because of these mental miseries, we are completely mad in the most nice countries on this planet. You take it from me, we are moving around the world. I have not seen any country like Uganda on the planet, whole planet. And even in Uganda, you people are feeling completely miserable. Krishna has given you everything here except Him. He has reserved Himself and given everything to you. Such a green place I have never seen. Such nice organic grown fruits and vegetables. If you go to the Western world, this is a dream there. Man, you have markets full of organic vegetables. Therein they grow artificial vegetables. It doesn't taste at all. If you go to London or America or somewhere, you will not be able to stay for one day because you people are habituated to have the organic material here. Such a nice country is there. Such a nice atmosphere is there. But even then the people are miserable because you are missing Krishna. And as soon as you miss Krishna, your life becomes zero. Our Srila Prabhupada told that if there is one zero, it doesn't mean anything. If there are two zeros, it doesn't mean anything. If there are three zeros, it doesn't mean. You may have 100 zeros. But it doesn't mean anything. But as soon as you add one to it, it gives a meaning to zero. Suppose if there is one zero and you add one, so what is the meaning then? Huh? One zero, add one. You know? Put one before it. One zero, put one before it. It becomes 10. If you have two zeros, put one again in front of it and it becomes 100. If you have three zeros, and put one, it becomes 1,000. Zeros have meaning if the one is there. Otherwise zero is no meaning at all. So our life without Krishna is as good as a big zero. Or maybe 1,000 zeros. 1,000 zero in the sense that I've got the properties, I've got the businesses, I've got the palaces, I've got cars, this, that. These are all zeros. And as soon as you add Krishna to it, it has a meaning. Your car is also meaningful. Your house is also meaningful. Your businesses are also meaningful. Your money is also meaningful. Your country is also meaningful. If Krishna is present there. Otherwise it's all useless. This is the thing to be understood first. And that's why it becomes our first duty as a human being to glorify the Lord. The cow cannot glorify. The dog cannot glorify. The tree cannot glorify. Not in any other species. This facility is available. And not only that, but except this planet, this facility is not available anywhere in the universe. Even the demigods have to stand in a queue to take birth on this planet of death. Who knows, you may be all demigods in a previous life. and that's why you have got a nice country to stay. This is how the demigods also have to come here. In short, it becomes our duty because of the higher consciousness which we have got to glorify the Lord. And we should start glorification from the pages of Bhagavad Gita. You take out 10th chapter and verse number 12. 10th chapter, verse number
12.
Page 523. Have you got it? Param Brahma. Have you got Param Brahma? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. Together, yes. Now, the first verse, Arjuna gives you 10 qualities of Krishna in no other literature all over the world. In such a short 2 lines, there are 10 qualities described. Frankly speaking, they don't know even a single quality. It's all right. Have you got it? All of you? Now repeat after me. Param Brahma.
Param Brahma.
Param Dhamma.
Param Dhamma.
Pavitram.
Pavitram.
Paramam.
Paramam.
Bhavan.
Bhavan.
Purusham.
Purusham.
Shashvatam.
Shashvatam.
Divyam.
Divyam.
Adidevam.
Adidevam.
Ajam.
Ajam.
Vibham. These are the 10 qualities. We'll understand afterwards, but you sing after me. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma.
Param Brahma, Param Dhamma.
Loudly. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma.
Param Brahma, Param Dhamma.
Pavitram.
Pavitram.
Paramam Bhavan.
Paramam Bhavan.
Purusham Shashvatam Divyam.
Purusham
Shashvatam Divyam. Adidevam. Ajam Vipam. We go to 9th verse in 8th chapter. You hear now. Kavim Puranam Anusha Sitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmaredya Sarvasya Dhata Ramachintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasah Parastat. Then 11th chapter, verse number 38. Tvamadi Deva Purushah Puranas Tvamasya Vishvas Chaparam Nidhanam Vetasi Vedyam Chaparam Chadhama Tvayatatam Vishmamanantarupam. In these 3 verses, that is 10, 12, 8, 9, and 11.38, there are 28 qualities of Krishna. If you study these 3 verses, for the whole of lifetime you can sing glories of Krishna. 28 qualities you cannot describe. Then there are so many other verses, isn't it nice? Shantakaram Bhujagashayanam Padmanabham Suresham Vishwadharam Gagana Sadrisham Mekavar Shubhangam Lakshmi Kantam Kamalanayanam Yogi Bir Dhyan Gamyam Vande Vishnum Bhavapayaram Sarvalokaikanatham Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta Stuvanti Divyai Sravai Vedai Sangkramapada Panishadai Gayanti Yam Samaka Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa pashyantiyam yogina yasyantam navido sura suragana tasmayade vahayanama. Vedic culture is behaving so that our life becomes very pure. Lest you stop this nonsense of having illicit connections. Suna, that is eating meat, fish and eggs. This is a fourth place wherein Kali Yuga stays. You must stop at earliest touching meat, fish and eggs. They are known as Suna, slaughterhouses. Then you must purify your life by completely cutting off the illicit connections. You must not intoxicate and you must not gamble. Unless you save from these things, forget about the devotional service and forget about Bhagavad Gita and forget about chanting. You should stop these things and try to help your friends to come to this level. This is a must. As soon as you purify your existence with these four things, then it is very easy to understand Bhagavad Gita. It is very easy to understand the spiritual knowledge. It is very, very easy to realize Krishna, to experience Krishna. With all the dirty life as we are living, it's impossible. Then we become really degraded, more degraded than the dogs, than the animals. You know, you take a beer glass of beer, and offer it to a dog. It will just sniff it and just run away from there. It will never drink beer. Do the dogs drink beer in Uganda?
No.
But we compete with them. Hey dog, you don't drink, I drink. So we are less than the dogs. Once you understand these points, then from today, this second, you should start purifying. Nobody can guard your life except yourself. If you want to stop the miseries in our life, this is the beginning. And you can see the people coming from the Indian continent, they try to follow these things unless they are prone to fall down in these countries, I don't know, or in India also. But it doesn't make any difference where the living entity is coming from. Anybody who goes against these four things, they forget God. And if they forget God, then they become dog, less than a dog. If you don't have God in your life, G-O-D, then you must have a dog. And we see, they take dogs in the cars also, because they don't have God with them. So they have to keep dogs. We see in these countries and Western countries also. So this is how we have to be very clear about these things. And in order to do these things, you must have a nice association. And we are very much thankful to Rajarshi Prabhu that on his own, he is trying very sincerely just to attract you people. Otherwise, he doesn't have to gain anything from you. On the contrary, he is spending for you. Will you please understand this point? We are lucky to have him in Uganda. Otherwise, there is no living entity here who is trying sincerely to keep open the center. He is paying money for you people to come here and hear. Do you think that he is mad? He has some sentiment for all the living entities, being himself a very nice devotee of Krishna. This is the most important point. Please don't make his life more unbearable. Don't create any difficulties in his path. And be sincere about these things. Always obey him so that this center flourishes. Everybody is welcomed here. And you are seeing that he is very much serious about these points. And as soon as you follow, you obey him, the things will grow slowly. I heard that he is going to have the vegetarian restaurant soon. So all these things require the manpower and require the devotee power. So be nice devotees. With all the nice atmosphere, why are we suffering? This is the reason we are suffering. And once you come to this point, then it is very easy to understand these four verses. Who will read yesterday's verse we had done? Was there anybody here yesterday in the temple? Can you read? Yes. Eighth. Verse number 8. It's very clearly mentioned in this. Without his help, we cannot breathe. Without his help, to survive ourselves in this body is completely impossible. You have to understand this. He is the source. He is the supreme source. And how I will tell you to understand these things? We have to go to the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam to understand more that how Krishna becomes the supreme source. See, in Bhagavad Gita, in 7th chapter, there is verse number 4. It very clearly gives you that there are 8 energies flowing from Krishna. Bhumi rapo nalo vayo kham mano buddhir evacha. Bhumi rapo nalo vayo kham mano buddhir evacha. Ahankara ityam me bhinna prakriti rashtada. In this, there are 5 gross elements which are known as Mahabhut, Pancha Mahabhut. This Bhumi, land, is his energy. And without land we cannot survive. In order to have our food, we have to take help of the land. In order to stay, we have to stay on the land. Then water, without water we cannot survive. Anal, without fire we cannot survive. Vayu, without air we cannot survive. And ether, that is kham, we cannot survive. These are the 5 gross elements. We can see them. We cannot survive without that. Please understand one element only from this. We will take one element only. Air, for example. We can survive without food, maybe for a month or two, or more than that even. But without air, you cannot survive for a single second. Every second, we want a fresh air to go in our body. And not only our body, but to all our limbs of the body, we require the fresh air. And that's why this loose clothing is very much important. This is Vedic clothing. I am very sorry to see you here without a dhoti. Even a pyjama is not needed. We must have dhotis in the temple. Now buy a few dhotis, please, Rajeshji Prabhu. Okay? And we have to have dhoti and kurta. That is our dress. Prabhupada wanted that. Prabhupada would be very upset to see you in pyjamas. So, these clothing help us to have the air very freely moving all over our body. And that's why these tight clothing is completely rejected, because it obstructs your circulation of the blood. Maybe you have to work or you go in trousers or this or that, it's alright. But as soon as you come back home, you should have loose clothing. And this is the way we have to utilize his energy, air, which is freely supplied. We take so much air in our breathing daily. We must take so much air to have all our body very healthy. And even then we don't get the bill at the end of the month. Say, hey, you have consumed 100 cubic feet of air, pay this much. No, we don't pay anything. It's all freely, completely freely supplied. Not only that, but this air does 10 different work in our body. This is very important factor, very important energy of Krishna by which our body is functioning. The first air is known as pranavayu, oxygen, and it gives you the capacity to breathe out. You know, breathing out the dirty air, carbon dioxide, is the main function of this first air. It is situated in our heart. And through the heart, the blood is circulated because of the air power. There is a soul, and it has this air power, the motive power. And the whole factory runs, because there is one engine which motivates the whole factory. That is the power, the center of power. The center of power in our body is heart, wherein our soul and super soul are situated. And because of the presence of the soul and super soul, the energy of the super soul works from heart, and it circulates all the blood all over the body. Not only it sends the blood to all your limbs, but it collects the all dirty blood from all your limbs and brings back to the heart. And then in our lungs, it comes in contact with the fresh air, and therein it develops the different duties which it has to perform. And this is how this first air helps us to breathe out. And the second important thing the first air does is it mixes with the second air and digests the food which we eat. And that's why we must be always in a fresh air. And I'm very happy here in these countries. I'm seeing that you people walk so nice. Walking is the best exercise to breathe in the air and breathe out the air. Because plenty of fresh air you get, then your bodies become very nice shaped. They're not very fat, not very this, not that, because you are walking always. This is the reason why your first air is freely working in your body. And then we come to the second air, which is known as apanavayu. And then apanavayu helps you to breathe in fresh air, as the pranavayu helps you to breathe out. And our prana, our life air, works very regularly. And this is very important function in our body. In 1 minute, 15 times we breathe in and breathe out. So in 1 hour, we have 60 minutes. 15 multiplied by 6. How many times? 900, yes. Without calculators you could do. So in 1 hour, for 900 times we breathe in and breathe out. Then in 24 hours, you are habituated to calculate money. He is done without it. It's very nice. This is the olden times. We didn't have any computers or calculators. We're completely absent. And we used to learn the tables. And because he's learned the tables, he can do multiplication or division by his mind. 21,600 times we breathe in and breathe out. And this is the most important function in the body. And when we are awake, we don't consume that much air. We require more air when we are asleep. And that's why our bedroom should be completely clean, clear, and the fresh supply of the air should always be provided when we are sleeping. This is the reason how we keep healthy body. Then the most important function of this apanavayu is that this vayu, this air, helps you 24 hours a day to throw out the waste material from your body. Without the function of this air, apanavayu, there will be difficulty in throwing out the waste materials. And that's why this vayu has got to be in a completely nice order. It should be flowing through your body very clearly and cleanly. Otherwise the body becomes sick. And if it is sick, and if there is any disturbance in this vayu, then a simple medicine does the job. Very simple medicine. And that is ginger, green ginger. And that's why this ginger we use in all our preparations. In dal there is a ginger, in sabji there is a ginger. And as it is, we have a ginger pickle. Or we saw here today green turmeric, that is best, green turmeric. It is very clear that your medicine must be your food, and your food must be your medicine. And this ginger is so very essential for our body. Krishna knows this, and that's why he supplies it in plenty. You bring the piece of ginger and put it in the earth, within 15 days it will grow immensely. 2 kilos, 3 kilos you can get just from the earth. It's immensely supplied, green ginger, because it is needed for our body. This is the second function of Apanvayu. I am explaining you how Krishna is the source of our existence. There are so many things could be told to you, but I am just describing you one gross element, and that is air. And we have only come to the second function. And the most important third function of this Apanvayu is that our birth is because of this Apanvayu in the stomach of mother, in the womb of mother. If mother's Apanvayu is weak, we would not have born. We would have been dead in the womb. Or maybe operation is to be carried out or something. And those things are not the natural birth. And if the birth is not natural, then we become mental. That is the reason why the population is getting degraded day by day, day by day. Because we are completely a rejected population. And we don't understand these things, that the Lord is the source of our existence. And instead of coming to Krishna, we are just roaming about like a mad person here, there, and all over the city and all over the country, and blaming everybody who comes in our way. And don't see our own mistake. That is the ajnana, that is the darkness of ignorance which we are roaming about. Instead of this, please come to your senses as soon as possible. And please do try to understand these things with the help of the scriptures are already with you here. Just you don't, if you don't do anything, you come here and sit here. Rajarshi has done a best job in having this place open. Where is the place wherein you can go and sit and read? You come here, Vasudham is always here, Sikh or whatever it is, but he's always here. The doors are open for you. We all should be very particular to go through the pages of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in order to fix our faith. We don't have faith in the existence of the Lord. And because we lack faith, we are thrown into the miserable pool of material existence. Can you imagine the miseries we are undergoing? And why? With all everything available, why should we undergo the miseries? But we are so very lazy, we are so very careless, that we don't understand, we don't come to this point. When are you going to come to this point? When are we going to wake up? Why we are sleeping with all the things available here? Please take advantage of these things and then improve the style of your life. Nobody can check you to improve your style, lifestyle, unless yourself. You yourself are killing yourself. Atmaha. You are committing suicide. This is the spiritual suicide. Don't commit the spiritual suicide. Understand the Supreme Source and come to Him very lovingly. He is the Supreme Father and He is kind, very kind. Beyond the limits, He is kind. And if you understand this point, then nobody can escape Him. Always, 24 hours a day, we have to take help from Him. Then we go to the third vayu, and that is known as Saman. It is situated in our navel area. And whatever we eat, it is converted into juices, different chemical juices. My hand is moving, my fingers are moving, I'm walking. This is all because of the chemical combination. This chemical combination helps the Saman Vayu to distribute it all over the limbs. And if there is any obstruction in this Vayu, then you may suffer paralysis. Or you may lose one hand, or you may lose one leg, or you may lose one eye, or your mouth may become completely distracted. These things happen because Saman Vayu is not working together. And again the medicine, the supreme medicine, is green ginger. The cloves, you know, loving applicate. Cloves is the best medicine. Then cardamom. You know, these are all different spices which we use in our cooking. It is not that only they make the food very tasty, but they are required for our body to function normally. And as soon as you stop taking these things, then you have to go to the monstrous doctors. Is there any doctor? I'm sorry. we were talking in Kisumu and there were five doctors there. Anyway, this is how we end up in a more miserable condition. Because we are going against the law set by Krishna. And as soon as we break his law, he punishes us then. And he doesn't come personally to punish you. He hands over to his energies to punish you. And the same energies then punish you. Then we come to the fourth function of the air in our body, and it is known as Udan Vayu. And Udan Vayu has a beautiful function. It is situated in our throat. And when we eat, then we drink also. Because we drink dal and we drink this, and there is a watery portion and everything is there. And there is solid food also. So in the throat, it does the function of separating the water and the solid food. And the solid food goes through our food pipe to the stomach. And the water is distributed equally again. This is the fourth function of the air, which is known as Udan Vayu. And this Vayu is very important after death. When we die, we have to leave this gross body here. We cannot take this body with us. Is there anybody in Uganda who can take the body? No. Such a beautiful country, you can take the body. No? So no exception. Nobody can take this body. But if our sadhana, if our devotional service is incomplete, then we have to take our subtle body, which comprises of mind, intelligence and ego, man, buddhi and ankar. And this Vayu, this Udan Vayu, with the help of this subtle body, wraps around our soul. The soul is wrapped around by mind, intelligence and ego and Udan Vayu. And then it takes out of this body and helps you to go to another body according to your activities. If your activities are sinful, you will get the sinful body. Tan Vishataha Kruran Sansareshu Narayataman Kshipami Ajasram Ashuban Asurishu Eva Yonishu. In Bhagavad Gita he threatens you. Tan Vishataha Kruran, these cruel people, these cruel people who are not obeying me and not following my instructions. Tan Vishataha Kruran Sansareshu Narayataman. In this sansar, in this worldly life, these are the Naradham, these are the lowest of the mankind. And what do I do with them? Kshipami, I throw them. Ajasram, in innumerable. Ashubhan, inauspicious. And Asurishu, demoniac species of life. This is the result. If you don't follow the instructions, then you are going to glide down. And therein, Muda Janmani Janmani, these foolish people, birth after birth, Mam Aprapyaiva, they don't achieve me. But Yanti Adamam Gatim, and go to the lowest births again and again and again. And the travelling, eternal travelling starts through 8,400,000 different species of bodies. It's the greatest danger if you don't come to Krishna. This is Udan Vayu. And then the fifth Vayu, there is Vyan Vayu. Vyan Vayu helps us to spread our limbs and contract. See, I am contracting my hand. This is Vyan Vayu. He's functioning all right. And the best example of Vyan Vayu is Kurma, that is tortoise. When it wants to swim, it takes out the legs. When it finishes swimming, then it brings back again under the shield. This is Vyan Vayu. Then there is sixth Vayu, Naga. It is when you eat too much, then you must belch or blurb, we do. And unless this Vayu comes out, this is known as Naga Vayu. The food cannot be digested. And that's why this Vayu is also important. Then seventh Vayu is known as Kurma. And Kurma Vayu is situated in our eyelids. And this Vayu is most important because our eyes must blink always. And unless the eyes blink, we cannot survive very nicely. But with the irregulated life, who gamble, who intoxicate, who have illicit connections, and who eat meat, fish and eggs, they lose the capacity of this Vayu first. And as soon as you lose this Vayu, strong drugs have got to be administered. Because your life is completely irregulated. With the irregulated life,
you lose the eyelids. And as soon as you lose the eyelids, if your eyes are open, they remain open. If they are closed, they remain closed. And this is how you lose your body. If this vayu is not functioning all right. Then the eighth vayu is krakar, which is sneezing. We sneeze. And sneeze is the best cure for the cold. If this vayu is not functioning all right, then your cold cannot be cured. And this is so very dangerous, this krakar vayu, that when you sneeze, there is a danger of death. Your breath may stop. And that's why in English particularly, when somebody sneezes, you know, they say that bless you, you are still alive. You are not dead. This is real kind of Krishna. So this is krakar vayu. Then Devadatta is the ninth vayu. And it is yawning. You know, when we are late now in sleeping, so we yawn because the body requires more air. And that's why it has this mechanism to absorb more air. And this is contagious. If I yawn, the whole hall will yawn. So this is always very important. And the last vayu is Dhananjaya. It is till we are alive, it keeps your body in shape. It's nice tailor-made skin. And after death, this vayu remains in your body. And that's why after death, we have to dispose of the dead body as soon as possible. Either it should be cremated or buried or whatever it is. Otherwise the body swells. And then it is very difficult. And if you want to preserve the dead body, then so much expense is to be done. Chemicals and this and that. And maybe you will be able to spend. These are in short the 10 functions of the vayu in our body. And this is the knowledge described in our scriptures. And this proves that Krishna is the source of everything. This is the main thing from Bhagavad Gita. You should go to Bhagavatam and try to learn this. Please repeat this. This shloka is beautiful. Aham sarvasya prabhavo.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo.
Matta sarvam pravartate. Iti matva pajante mam. Buddha bhava samanvita. Esham satadiktanam. Tesham satadiktanam. Bhajatam priti purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Enamam upayantite. Tesham evanu kampartam. Tesham evanu kampartam. Aham ajnana jam tamah. Nashayami atma bhavasto. Jnana dipena bhasvata. These are the four verses.
Those who have their arms cut off, will have to work to the arms of Ashwini Kumar. And those whose hands are cut off, will have to do their work with the hands of Susha. The priest will also have to act in that manner. As per Prabhu, he will have the real from the goat's head. Rukmini, a great supporter of Dasha, was awarded the beard of goat's head, which was sustained for the head of Daksha, which was substituted for the head of Daksha. It appears from the exchange of Daksha's head that the modern type of theory that the main substance is the cause of all intelligent work is not valid. The brain substance of Daksha and that of a goat are different. But Daksha still acted like himself, even though his head was replaced by that of a goat. The conclusion is that it is the particular consciousness of an individual soul which acts. The brain substance is only an instrument which has nothing to do with the real intelligence. The real intelligence, mind and consciousness are part of a particular religious soul. It will be found in the verses ahead that after the first head was replaced by the good head, he was as intelligent as he had previously been. He prayed very nicely to satisfy Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. It is not possible for a ghost to do. Therefore, it is definitely concluded that the brain substance is not the center of intelligence, but it is the consciousness of a particular soul that works intelligently. The whole movement of Krishna consciousness is to purify the consciousness. It doesn't matter what kind of brain one has, because if he simply transfers his consciousness from matter to Krishna, his life becomes successful. It is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita that anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness achieves the highest perfection of life. Regardless of whatever abominable condition of life he may have fallen into. Specifically, anyone in Krishna consciousness goes back to Godhead, back home, on leaving his present material body. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmritamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamiham Dadati Sapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Adhakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rigunatham Vidhamnatam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitam Vishakham Vitamsa. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Panta Radha Panta Namaskute. There are beautiful verses from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. This should be learned by heart and sung very nicely, because all the scriptures are gaya. It would be very nicely sung. And the more you sing, the disease from your body vanishes. That's the first material result. But that's not our goal. Our goal is not to have undiseased body, but body is the instrument. And that instrument has got to be very nice. When the doctor performs the operation, his goal is not to keep the knife clean. His goal is to cut the body and remove the disease. That is the goal of doctor in performing the operation. But because the knife is the instrument, it has got to be sharp and it has got to be very healthy in a nice clean condition. Our aim is not to have a healthy body, but it is required for performing our Krishna conscious activities. And that's why we have to take resort of this medicine, which is the king of the medicines for the whole of existence. Unless you try in this way,
our attempts may completely end up in failure. The consciousness, to change the consciousness, is not a very easy thing. Because from lives together, from innumerable lives, we are prone to perform the fruitive activities. When we were in other species of life, we had the same tendency that unless we get some result, we don't want to do any work. That was our innate tendency. And the same tendency continues here also. In order to drive away that tendency, we must perform a very nice Gita through the Shastra. And you take the verse which is very important in Bhagavad Gita, verse number 12 from 10th chapter, is given 10 characteristics in two lines. In no other literature in the world, in no other scripture so called, these things are given. These are very important things. In one, two lines, we have 10 qualities of Krishna, and not only that, but it has a beautiful lyric. And not only that, but we saw yesterday that Om is the Samvit in the incarnation of the Lord. And in this world, there are 9 Oms. This is how we should get into it and try to sing. And it doesn't require any time. While driving, you can do, while cooking, you can do, while doing the work, you can do, provided we are very sincere to learn about these things. If the sincerity is missing, then the failure is the result. Here that verse is beautiful, 12th verse from 10th chapter. Param Brahma.
Param.
Oh, yes, inside. It's very easy. Param Brahma.
Param Brahma.
Param Si. Param.
Param.
Om is there. Param Brahma.
Param Brahma.
Param Dhamma. Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. It's beautiful. You forget all the miseries. You just learn 2 lines and there is no misery there. Param Brahma Param Dhamma
Param Dhamma
Pavitram Paramam Bhavan
Pavitram Paramam Bhavan
Purusham Shashadam Divyam Adidevam Ajam Vibham. Srimad Bhagavad Gita is very easy to understand. And that's why we should begin from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Unless we learn to write 1 to 10, we cannot write from 1 to 100. And if we don't learn 1 to 100, and if we forget that, then we cannot solve the mathematical principles. This is the beginning. And beginning has got to be remembered all the time. If you say that, oh, I've learned from 1 right to 1 to 100, and now I don't need it. No, you require all the time. Because you have mastered it. The beginning things have got to be mastered. And this way, Bhagavad Gita becomes very important in our spiritual life. And particularly you should start from the 4 seed verses, which are very, very important. These children should be given these verses continuously, so that the whole Bhagavad Gita they have in their brains. They may not be able to study 700 verses. But start from these 4 verses, from 10th chapter, verse number 8, 9, 10 and 11. And the whole Bhagavad Gita, the philosophy, will be with you always. It's very easy to understand. And then try to learn few of the verses for the glorification of the Lord. And now we are not very new. ISKCON is already now 30 years nearly old. So we are not new now. We have to sit cross-legged, legged on this floor. And we are trying to engross in studying these scriptures. So nice a scripture we have in the form of Bhagavad Gita, sung by Lord Himself. And we know that there is no difference between Lord and His Gita. So we should concentrate on these things. Then we go to 9th verse. There is 9th verse. In 8th chapter, it could be very nicely sung again. Here, Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmaredya Sarvasya Data Ramachintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasaha Parasa. Then beautiful verse in 11th chapter, verse number 38. Tamadi Deva Purushaha Puranas Tamasya Vishvat Saparam Nidhanam Vetati Vedyam Chaparam Tadama Tvayatatam Vishwamananta Rupam. And these three verses has a peculiarity. The first verse gives the 10 qualities of Krishna. In 8th chapter, the 9th verse gives the 8 qualities of Krishna. And 11th chapter, 38th verse again gives the 10 qualities of Krishna. We are all preachers. We want to preach about Krishna. You must have few qualities at hand and with full references so that you can talk about Krishna. Otherwise, our existence becomes completely useless. The research is like this, that you take the work, make the list of the qualities, try to find out the references from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, very innumerable references. This is how we should utilize our time. And that is well spent, because your knowledge increases. And as soon as the present knowledge increases in your existence, your whole existence blooms. It never remains the bud. At the moment we have a bud, we have this budding consciousness. And there is the capacity to bloom. But we are not blooming, because we are not trying. The bud can never bloom unless there is water and sunshine. Water has got to be there and sunshine has got to be there. Otherwise the bud will remain the bud. It has the capacity to bloom. But we are forcing it to be a bud. Because we have water in the form of scriptures. We have the sunshine in the form of the gurus. Everything is here. But we are not taking advantage of it. And because we don't take advantage of it, the frustration is the result. This is how we should get the scriptures. And then slowly you can proceed to Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the highest scripture, the best scripture we have at our disposal, and it will go past the labor. Each word is completely clear, every story is clear, the morals are clear, Sri Prabhupada's purports are very clear. And you can see from this purport that no doubt this story is about Daksha and how he was punished because of his offense. The main thing Sri Prabhupada discusses here is the modern trend. Sri Prabhupada is expert in explaining the scriptures and showing us the intimate connection with our daily life. And not only that, but here he is advising the scientists. He was not a scientist. But you have to understand that when you come to Krishna, sarvam evam vidnyatam bhavati, everything becomes known. And this is the proof of that. This purport is very modern. And he has given the best principle to us. Our scientists, they play with the 8 separated energies of Krishna. And those 8 separated energies are very nicely described in the verses in 7th chapter. Which are those verses? Bhumirapo Nilo Vayu. Bhumirapo Nilo Vayu. Kamana Buddhi Revaja. Ahankara Idrim Mevina. Prakriti Rashtada. Aparayam Nitaswanyam. Prakriti Vidhi Mekaram. Jiva Bhutan Mahabhavo. Yedan Dharyade Jagat. In these two verses, these 8 separated energies and the root cause of our existence is very nicely described. You take the first verse first. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu kham mano buddhire vacha. Bhumi means land. Aap water. Anal paya. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu. Air and kham, ether. These are the 5 great elements. And then apart from these gross 5 great elements, there are 3 subtle elements. Mind, intelligence and ego. Man, buddhi and ahankara. Ityam me bhinna, prakriti, ashtada, bhinna. These are the 8 mind-separated energies. They are the energies of the Lord, but they are separated. And because they are separated, on their own, they can't do anything. Being the material, gross material elements, they cannot do anything on their own. There is a land, but unless you till and unless you sow the seeds, nothing will grow. The land cannot do on its own. The same way the water can't do on its own. The same way the wire cannot do on its own. But at the same time, these elements are very much essential for our healthy existence. And not only that, but the importance of Man, Buddhi and Ahankara, that is the subtle body, exceeds from the material body. At the time of death, we have to leave our material body, which is made up of five elements. Bhumi, Rakva, Tulo, Vayu, Kam. That is man, water, fire, air and ether. This body we have to forsake. Nobody is able to take this body. Doesn't matter, you may be a millionaire. You may be a very rich doctor, engineer, or whatever you may be. Everybody has to leave this body here. And we are very much attached to the body. And that's why you may have the idea that people exploit this tendency and they have created a big business out of it. You must be knowing, once saw in television, there was a program about this business. That people are very much attached to their body. We don't want to leave our body. And maybe we want to come back again in the body. Resurrection, they call it. And maybe sometime we again come back. So these old persons, you know, in America particularly, they are very rich. And nobody wants to part with the money. So they come to them, these old persons. I forgot the name of the company. But it is situated in Los Angeles, I think. You might be knowing that company. It's a big office they have. And the business is that they approach the old people and they tell them that what is the use of giving money to anybody else? You just keep your money, your account will be with us, we'll manage the account and we'll charge you some fees, you know, and we will freeze your body as soon as you die. So if your body is there, then maybe you can come back. And when you come back, your account is late. So they think, hey, yes, it's alright, and they give heavy, this so much large amount of money to freeze their body. And they have some model freeze bodies, you know. They have a big godown and nice sized slabs and some living and foolish living are lying in there. And then they show, you know, that this is the way we have arranged and your body will be preserved here. Nobody knows that the electricity may fail and the ice may melt. Who is going to take care of that body? But even then, they exploit the situation. It's a big business. So many people are already doing. Or, many times what happens, that we would have $200,000 to preserve our body. So they say, doesn't matter, we will preserve only your head. And if the head is there, the body will develop. It's impossible. Without the existence of the soul, the body cannot develop. But this is how the exploitation is going on. Only pay us 50,000 and we'll only freeze your head. So they cut the head and freeze the head. And there are heads also in their garden. So this 50,000 is 75,000, two hands are there. 200,000 whole body in there. Then this is unity. As soon as we come to Krishna, then these things become very clear. Then how and how we try to preserve the body. In Egypt formerly, you know, the mummies, they were called mummies, the dead bodies were preserved, medically. And not only that, but with the dead bodies, servants were also buried. They thought that maybe sometimes he comes back, he must have a servant. And they didn't know that by that time the servant will also be dead, and he can never come back to his dead body. But this is the ignorance we are exploiting. Because as soon as you go away from Krishna, then bhavushakaya tantacha buddhaya vyasayana. As soon as we leave Krishna consciousness, there are so many branches that you roam about. And everywhere we get frustrated. Everywhere we get frustrated. And there are so many, then fears, you know. There is a very nice verse in which there are 9 fears described in our life, you know. It's a beautiful verse. I'm very grateful. Bhoge roga bhayam kule sutimayam vitte rupa labhayam mane dainya bhayam bale ripubhayam rupe janayam bhayam shastre vad bhayam gune khal bhayam kaye krutanta bhayam sarvam vastu bhayavaham bhumi dunam vairagyam eva bhayam. Beautiful version. Vedic literature gives you everything. These are the 9 fears. They are continuing haunting us. The first one is bhogya yoga bhayam. The more you try to enjoy, the more disease your body becomes. Bhogi is always rogi. Bhogi means those persons who are enjoying. They are always rogi, they are always diseased. Unless you control your enjoyment, your body can never be healthy. There is the greatest fear to us. We want to enjoy and we want to have a healthy body. And both things cannot go together. And that's why our Vedic culture, particularly Prabhupada's instructions, are there that we are busy from 4 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. So we don't have much time to enjoy. And our attention, somehow or the other, is completely diverted from this enjoyment to the devotional attitude, to the devotional service. And because of that, we are saved. Within a few days, even the new bhaktas, they join and they shine, start shining. Why? Because they control. And as soon as you control your bhog, as soon as you control your enjoyment, you become healthy. And those who are diseased, for them also, if they were unclean, they are unclean faith in the devotional service, and they follow the devotional activity very seriously, they will have their health back. Without doubt. There is no doubt. No doubt at all. Not only that, but it is very nicely described. And so many verses are coming to my mind, but already are controlled by the time. In Ram Rajya, in Lord Ram's kingdom, Murtyushanasi, Ichchatamasi, even the death was not there unless you desire. That is the Ram. As soon as you chant Ram's name, as soon as you chant Krishna's name, you don't have the death even. That is the quality of Krishna's names and Lord Ram's names. You cannot die, unless you desire, you cannot die. That is the reward of Krishna consciousness. And living this very sublime science, we are running after so many other things under different excuses. And we are getting in miserable condition. And then blame others for our own misery. This lunacy has got to be stopped with the study of the scriptures. And this is material reward, immediate. And apart from this, prasannasma, as soon as you perform this activity, you become completely present and you are not afraid about your diseased body at all. That is the main thing. In order to drive away the fear, we have to come to these scriptures. Come to the Guru. Come to the instructions given by Krishna himself and follow them very seriously. Then there won't be any fear about Bhoga Roga Bhayam. Then second bhaya is Kulejati Bhayam. We are very proud of our family situation. We are very proud. You can come this side. We don't face back to our... That's nice to see you. Look very good. Hey, what medicine you took?
Good sleep exercise.
Yesterday we heard Krishna Katha for 1 hour. In serious face. God, I feel like performing Krishna Katha. I like your face. My face is monkey-like. See how nice, yeah? This is the reward. Who will live this life? Yeah, within one night, he's completely changed. Yesterday we saw him as a completely morose. And now he is shining. And the more he continues, the more improvement should be there. Prasannatma, you know? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Very nice shloka. What is it there? Hey, Pradesh. Hey, Pradesh Das. You know that short shloka? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. You are a stone. Yeah, you should study, okay? You show some sentiment. A smile. Come on, smile. Yeah, he's smiling. Yeah. The point is that unless you are Brahma Bhuta, you cannot be Prasannatma. Brahma Bhuta means the gentle and situated person. And it's a very nice thing. Srila Prabhupada tells very nicely that Bhuta is ghost. And Bhuta means living entity also. In Sanskrit, these are the two meanings of Buddha. Buddha means ghost, or Buddha means living entity. If you are a living entity, Brahma Buddha, means you are living entity following the Krishna conscious activities, then you become Brahma Buddha. And the result is Prasannatma. You are always joyful. And when you are joyful, you improve. in your look, you improve in your health. If you are Krishna Atma. But if you are not Brahma Buddha, then you are only Buddha. So you are a ghost, haunted by ghosts. Ordinary people, with all due respect to them, they behave like haunted by ghosts. So sometimes they go to grocery, sometimes they go to restaurants, sometimes they go to bingo halls, sometimes they are ending up in pubs, breaking each other's heads. And these things are in front of us. Instead of performing those lunatic activities, it is our duty to come to this side. We must stop here and continue tomorrow. There are only two fears that I described. The rest of the seven fears we'll see tomorrow. Hare Krishna. There is 1 minute. Have you anything to ask? Any comments? Yes?
What is the significance of giving beer to Prabhu Muni? What is the significance of that?
The significance is that they had insulted the greatest personality, Shiva. And that's why he was not allowed to have the normal beard. It's a goatee beard. Eh? So wherever you see the goatee beard, think that he is Guru. The main point is, these insults have got to be avoided. Yesterday we had discussed, yesterday we discussed in our Swamiji's house how the insult continues, you know, and destroys completely. We gave the example of Dronacharya. We'll discuss sometime, if you have time. Time is the decision. You know, Kali Yuga completely forces us to destroy our time. Please take out some time and study the scriptures. Thank you.